And joining me right now here on the Mark Moses Show is this guy does every Tuesday. He does a great job with Brevard Sports Network. He's my good friend, Alan Sutterzinski. Alan, how you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing great, Mark. Thanks for having me, buddy.
All right. You did a great post, and I always love getting you on. You were talking about the Florida Gators spring game, which just happened this past Saturday, where we had a lot of local area high school athletes who were going to play for the Gators. What was the latest on your post, buddy?
Yeah, man. These guys, they really had a nice spring. Not so much in the spring game itself, but, you know, Billy Napier hands out awards at halftime to the players that excel during spring practice. And there are four Brevard County products, all on the Florida Gators. Two of them, let me see here. Two of them are walk-ons. Two of them are scholarship athletes. And all of them, Mark, picked up an award from Billy Napier. Jamari Lyons picked up the, I always screw this up, but they picked up the Headhunter Award. Mm-hmm. So good for Jamari. He's an interior defensive lineman. Jamari played a lot last year. He played in 12 games, started one. Of course, he also had that unfortunate incident against Florida State at the end of the year. And then there's Bryce Lovett, the offensive lineman out of Rockledge, who was a true freshman last year, kind of struggled a little bit. What, you know, he wasn't highly recruited, but he's got an NFL body on him. So the Gators, you know, they brought him in, and he has really bulked up, slimmed down, and he picked up an award. And then the other two were non-scholarship outstanding athletes during spring practice. And that was Jaden Edgecombe and Zach Sedaros, both who are wide receivers for the Gators. Jamari Lyons and Zach Sedaros are from Vieira, Jaden Edgecombe from Coco, and Bryce Lovett from Rockledge. So, Mark, four former Brevard standouts really doing some good work in making Brevard County proud.
That is really cool. We're here at the Alan Sutterzinski Brevard Sports Network. Yeah, the spring game was Saturday. Did you get a chance to watch it, or have you seen the highlights? What were your thoughts, buddy?
Yeah, I watched it, and I was impressed. You know, DJ Lagway, of course, the 2023 Gatorade National Player out of the Year, kid from Texas. Look, man, this kid he looks special. 6'3", 240. I was a little nervous at first. I'm not going to lie, Mark.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he threw those two interceptions, but all in all, I thought he had a fantastic day. You know, he's a freshman. He's going to become more efficient with the football. I don't like 12 for 21, but I do like the 173 yards. I do like the two touchdowns. So I thought he was impressive. And I think the further, you know, this thing goes, Lagley's going to have to be on the field, Mark. He's just going to have to be there.
All right. If you are Billy Napier, how would you handle him where, and especially I say this question from the standpoint of, you know, these players want to be happy and they want to play or they'll go in the transfer portal. So it's one of those things. How would you handle DJ Lagway year one?
Well, you got a 5th-year senior quarterback in Graham Mertz. I'd rely a little bit on him. Mm. You know, if I'm Billy Napier, I'm really trying to make sure that the bond between Mertz and Lagway is built. You're going to have that, Mark. You know, this is a really good opportunity for Billy Napier. It's not often in college football where a head coach gets a quarterback or has a quarterback like Graham Mertz, 5th-year senior, and a super stud freshman product like DJ Lagway. There's only one of two ways. You know, it can either go north or it can go south. I don't see an in-between here, Mark. So I do believe Billy Napier is going to have to handle this with somewhat kid gloves. You know, listen, DJ Lagway, highly touted NIL guy. You know, there could be some issues here. So, you know, Napier's going to have to handle this with kid gloves. But I think you got the leader in Graham Mertz, and I wouldn't be surprised if Napier leaned on him.
Does this kind of remind you of, you know, 2006, where you have Chris Leak? Now, look, that's a championship-level team that won the title. But you had Chris Leak, and then you had the Bollywood recruit, super-hyped Tim Tebow. Are we kind of – I know we're not at that point, but does it kind of remind you of this?
It does. And that's a great comparison, Mark, and I didn't even think of it. But, yes, it does. Because, you know, if you remember, I mean, he had to find a way to get Tebow onto that field, didn't he?
Yes.
And eventually when he put him on, he never came out. And, yeah, so, you know, and of course, great things, you know, happened. And it's kind of like, and I'm not talking about, you know, I'm not talking about abilities here. Mm. It's kind of like Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love, right? I mean, you know, it's like you got that veteran, you bring in the superstar, and we'll see what happens.
He's got to get on the field. I hope the listeners understand this topic will be brought up all summer long, as it should. And there's
it's not, you know, Mark, it's not as cut and dry as a lot of people think it is. It's just not.
It's going to be fascinating. I had another reporter tell me he already has his own clothing line on campus. Like, there is a store that's selling DJ Lagway, like, his you know, T-shirts and hats. Like, dude, this is getting out of hand. This is, like, crazy. You're having an 18-year-old who's got NIL money, and he deserves the hype. Hasn't played yet. Clothing line. He's got the money. Is this good for college football moving forward? That's my question for you.
No. I mean, you know, as a freshman in college at a university like Florida, how can all of this? It's his clothing line. He owns the company, Mark, right?
Yes.
How much time does he have to dedicate to this? How much of a distraction is this? How, you know, listen. I mean, you want freshmen and you want seniors studying film. You want them concentrating and focusing on how much of this stuff is a distraction to these players. I have to think, Mark, a great deal of it is a huge distraction.
I agree with you. It's going to be fascinating where, look, you have all this hype. And look, we saw this last season with Texas where you had Manning as a freshman. He's making millions of dollars. And he never really played because, I mean, they were playing so great. They went to the playoff. This is going to be the norm moving forward. And I, you know what? I'm kind of excited for it for the Gators with Lagway. I know we're putting a lot of hype on him, but it's going to be interesting. It really is. If I ask you this question, because it was posed to me, I want to get your thoughts. So I did do this TV segment and we asked, okay, going into the fall, of the three quarterbacks at Florida State, UCF, and the Gators. So, you know, you got Mertz, but really Lagway. Then you have KJ Jefferson, the transfer from Arkansas, he's going to be at UCF, or the DJ guy who was at Clemson, Oregon State, now Florida State. Who should we be most hyped about of those three quarterbacks, buddy?
You know, I would think with what UCF did last year, listen, I was a big KJ Jefferson fan when he was at Arkansas, and I watched him a lot. Because he played with former Rockledge standout Rocket Sanders, so I watched him a lot. DJ up at Florida, so I think with what the Gators have coming in, we've seen KJ Jefferson, we've seen DJ, right? I think the excitement and the hype has got to be in Gainesville here. I just do. Right. You have DJ Lagway, and that's just going to be a fascinating situation. And my answer would be there.
Yeah, I agree with you on this. But I had to pose the question to you, buddy. I had to do
where it. Was, what did you say?
I went with DJ Lagway. Look.
Yeah, I think you have to.
I know people call me a Gator homer after a while. I get it. But I think this is the first time in a long time where, hey, I think we got something here. Like, this is very important. Think about a recruit that matters so much to the school and to Billy Napier, the coaching staff. He needs this guy to get on the field. He needs to.
Yeah. I thought that was a phenomenal comparison with Leak and Tebow. I really do. I think that's the scenario right there. And we all know how that was handled. And Gator fans can only hope that this is handled in much of the same way.
Look, they didn't get to a bowl game last year with Mertz as the quarterback. They didn't get to a bowl game. I will say it again. And they say, you know, they're constantly saying Alan Sutterzinski, you know, they have the hardest schedule in the country. And they do. It is a gauntlet. So I don't have high expectations for them to go 10-2 anyway. I don't. So might as well, you take time, But I got to see this guy in the field. I really do.
You know, here's the thing, though. You know, we have seen time and time and time and time again in college football, especially over the last 10 to 12 years, freshman quarterback come in and take the country by storm. Mm. Lagway can be that kid, Mark.
We will find out. Don't worry. We have, what are we, in April? We got plenty of time, buddy, to talk about this. We do. We're in the Alan Sardarzynski Brevard Sports Network. Let's go to your high school. What are you covering this week here in Brevard County?
A lot of lacrosse, Mark. A lot of lacrosse. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, all lacrosse. Got the district championships coming up. We got some baseball sprinkled in. Mm. And but, yeah, I just want to real quick, Mark, talk about the Rockledge Raiders baseball team, if I could. Mm. Listen, if you're a baseball fan out there and you get an opportunity to go see the Rockledge Raiders play, go do it. Because they have five pitchers on that team, four seniors and a freshman, that are absolutely phenomenal. The four seniors are all going to be pitching in D1 next year. The freshman is a left-hander throwing 95 miles an hour. And all four seniors throw in the 90s. The Raiders are 19-2 this year, Mark. They really are one of the better baseball teams. Vieira was very good last year with all of those arms. Rockledge has the potential to be a very special team deep into May this year. They can hit the ball. They got a young man by the name of Jonathan Matos who is batting like 570, and he's batting third in the lineup. You know, you don't see a lot of 570 hitters in high school baseball in Brevard County anymore. And Matos is he's a beast at the plate. And with these five arms that they have that Coach Greg Claiborne has, and don't forget about Coach Claiborne, you know, he's won 640-plus games over his 33-year career. This is a really good baseball team. And if you like baseball, go watch the Rockledge Raiders play.
All right. Was it one of those things going into the season people told you, okay, watch out for Rockledge? Or has it kind of been like, all right, this has kind of blossomed over the last couple of weeks?
For me, it was I bumped into Coach Claiborne one night, and he looked at me, and we were talking, and he said, I got some arms this year. He goes, and this is what he said to me. He says, and you know me, I don't normally say things like this. And he doesn't. Coach Claiborne's not a boaster. He's not one of those type of guys. He reminds me of an old school manager like a Billy Martin or an Earl Weaver type guy. Mm. And he looked at me and he goes, I've got some arms this year. And if these guys do what I know they can do, we can have a special team. And he wasn't lying.
That's really cool, dude. So, are you going to be calling any games for Rockledge moving forward?
Yeah, we did the Cape Coast Conference Championship for them last week. The freshman pitched in that one, went 5 2/3, struck out 10 hitters. Mm. Rockledge captured the Cape Coast Conference Championship. There'll be a rematch coming up Friday between Rockledge and Vieira at USSSA Space Coast Stadium. So there's an opportunity for everybody to go see them play. Go up there Friday night
nice.
At 6 o'clock and go watch them play in the stadium. You'll enjoy yourself.
All right, so you Rockledge, if you're going to do your power rankings, we usually do this for high school football. Is Rockledge number one in the county?
Yes. Easily. Easily the number one team in the county, yeah.
So Rockledge, pound for pound, number one. Who are your...
Merritt Island, number two. And then, quite honestly, you could throw, you know, Vieira, O'Galley, Satellite, Melbourne, all in a bag, shake them up, and they could all come out 3, 4, 5, 6, and it wouldn't matter. But it's definitely Rockledge and Merritt Island 1-2, no doubt. Merritt Island beat O'Galley last week 13-0. You know, they've got a good pitcher and a senior, Nick Wimberly, there as well. So, yeah, Merritt Island's a good team, too. In fact, you can watch Merritt Island tonight on Brevard Sports Network as they take on Melbourne.
Are you doing any softball coverage?
Yes, Melbourne Bulldogs, Mark, are the number four ranked team in the nation. The nation, buddy. Not Florida, the country. They're undefeated. The FSU commit, Jazzy Francis, continues to just absolutely shine. Last weekend, she went over to Kissimmee in the Kissimmee Classic, which is all of the best teams from around the state of Florida split into two divisions. And the Melbourne Bulldogs took down the defending state 6A champ, Bartow Yellow Jackets. and Francik went head-to-head with a pitcher by the name of Caitlin Oxley. Oxley's going to Florida. Francik's going to FSU. Francik beat her 2-0. It's the third time in Jazzy's career she's beaten her. They'll see each other again, though, in the regional finals this year. Hopefully that will now be played at Melbourne, since Melbourne beat Bartow. And then in the other bracket, Mark, the Vieira girls softball team won that. So Brevard County won over there and captured both brackets of one of the more prestigious softball tournaments.
So today is what, April 16th? Mm-hmm. When is postseason play exactly?
Starts in 2 weeks for both softball and baseball.
Okay, that is cool, dude. And you're kind of doing that. And then what did you say earlier about lacrosse? Are you in postseason right now? Or what's up?
Yes, we are in districts right now. So, yeah, I'll keep you posted on that.
How many years have you been doing lacrosse play-by-play now?
Four. Ooh. 4 years.
So you can do it. If someone called you up nationally, hey, I need you on this lacrosse call, could you do it now? You good?
Yeah, I could.
All right. I do this all the time. What's the one play-by-play where you're like, I'm not good at doing this, and I can admit it on the air?
Soccer.
Soccer's the hardest? I get it.
Yeah, well, with soccer, there are a lot of technical terms in soccer. And I just, to me, it's, you know, if you're going to shoot, the area that's 10 feet out in front is mm-hmm. always going to be a slot area to me.
Yeah.
You know, it's not in soccer, you know. I mean, it's the box, it's this, it's that, it's the 18-foot line, you know. And I have my good games where I do all of that. But for the most part, no. I just leave that up to other guys here at the network.
Soccer reminds me of baseball from the standpoint of, if you're calling the game, there's a yeah. lot of dead time where yeah. you're not, there might not be any scoring. So you kind of have to, like, you fill in the gaps with maybe stories that, you know, if you're someone's on the air with you. And then it's like, but you have to pay attention, because if something happens, you can't be like looking the other way. So it's a very weird sport.
My favorite sport to call is baseball. Mm. My best sport is basketball.
All right. What about football? Where does that rank?
Yeah. With football, a lot of times we all know football, right? Football's at the top of the list, but people don't expect you to be able to do basketball. I enjoy broadcasting basketball. I like the quick pace of it. Mm. And I think it's my best sport. Caleb often tells me the best sport I broadcast is basketball. My favorite is baseball.
Well, there's his official statement. I love calling basketball. It's my favorite.
Yeah.
I'm with you. It's because there's so much action. It's just awesome. We're here at the Alan Sutter-Zinsky Brevard Sports Network. Speaking of baseball, it's your Baltimore Orioles. They brought up the super.
Jackson Holliday.
Yeah, I didn't even have to say it. He looks like he's about 13. But what are your thoughts on him coming up to the big club?
Well, he got his first hit Sunday. He's a little overmatched right now.
Yeah.
I don't know that the Orioles probably should have brought him up right now. I know a lot of this has to do with contracts and things, you know, and you know how long club control and all that stuff and. You know, I'm not going to get into all that, but as far as for him, he's overmatched at the moment right now. You know, he's a left-handed hitter. Look, he tore through the minor leagues. But yeah, he'll get it, Mark. He's not, you know, he's a great fielder. He's playing a new position in the major leagues in second base. He's a little overmatched right now. He can't hit left-handed pitching right now worth a lick, but, he'll get it. You know, the Orioles, it's funny because when they called Jackson Holliday up, their lineup on Sunday against the Milwaukee Brewers, the average age was 23 years and 6 months, and every player in the lineup were all draft picks of the Baltimore Orioles.
How many years did the Orioles tank to make all these picks and then become a contender?
Well, I don't know that it was tanking, but they legitimately sucked. And
I completely get it.
Listen, man, it has been a long suffering time. You know, the Orioles were the winningest team in baseball, Mark, from the mid 60s till about the late 80s. and had some good years in the 90s, and then the Angelos ownership group took over. It's a new era. You know, we've got new ownership now. Angelos passed away. We've got new ownership now, but it was 30 long years, man. Mark. 30 long years. And you look at the Orioles. I love the Capitals. I love the Ravens. But the Orioles are my favorite Baltimore sports team. And, you know, a lot of people say you love the Orioles because that's the team that never left you. The Capitals don't truly belong to you.
No.
The Ravens weren't the Baltimore Colts, but the Orioles have been the one constant in my life, right? So, you know, I've got all of their jerseys. You know, I've got their home jersey, their City Connect jersey, their road jersey, their home jersey, you know, and I look and I go, you're right. You know, that's my team. And I got the Major League Baseball package. I've only missed one Oriole game all year so far. Now I've had to obviously record some of them, but I'll come home and watch them. And, got home last night late and popped the Orioles on, but I love the Orioles and it's going to be a lot of fun watching this young team develop.
Oh, yeah? Well, on the other side of the spectrum, so my White Sox, who've been around since the – they've been around since, the Civil War, probably. So I think they're off. Like, I knew they were going to be bad. They were bad last year. I think – my brother texted me this. I think they're the worst start in the history of the franchise. What?
That's tough to do when you've been around as long as they have, buddy.
I'm not kidding around. Since the turn of the century. It's so bad. And it's not like, oh, well, we'll get the number one pick in the draft. You know, we'll get Caleb Williams. No, it's not good. It's not. I try not to think about it. So I'll just live through you. I think that's what I'll do.
And listen, I know you love the White Sox, buddy, because I remember a couple of years ago when it was the All-Star break and the White Sox were, you know, right there at the top of the American League Central. You were talking some baseball and you were talking some White Sox. So I know you love them.
They're the New York Mets of the American League. It's the same thing. They're just so terrible. All right. Here's my bonus. I'll let you go. All right. Here's what I want to do this summer. I want to fly up to New York City, spend a night there. So like I'll go for 2 days. I want to take the train up to the Bronx and I want to go to Yankee Stadium and I want to take the tour of Monument Park and take my photo with the Babe Ruth plaque and I want to go to a game. I know you hate the Yankees because you're an Orioles fan, but would you join me if we did this trip?
I would. I absolutely would. Matter of fact, you know, I've been to Fenway, I've been to old Yankee Stadium and, you know, on my bucket list, one more time, Mark, is I want to go back and visit some ballparks again. You know, I want to go back to Camden Yards. I haven't seen the new Yankee Stadium yet.
Man.
I want to go back to Fenway. I want to go to Citizens Bank. I want to go to PNC. So you just let me know when and I'm there.
My other question is, could we just fly up to Atlanta and go to a baseball game for the day and then just fly back to Orlando? Is that possible?
I don't see why we couldn't. I mean, anything's possible. But, I don't see why we couldn't.
I mean, look, it's 45 minutes to drive to the airport. It's an hour flight. Then it's probably going to take us another 45 minutes to get to that ballpark. I think you could pull it off in one day. If there's like a let's say it's a 2 o'clock first pitch. I think you could pull it off. I think you could.
Yeah, we can catch an 8 o'clock flight. We'd be there by, 9:30. We probably have time to kill.
I'd like to see that ballpark in Atlanta. In the Battery Park, would you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would because that's what they're going to be doing with Camden Yards now. The city of Baltimore, prior to the bridge collapse, gave gave them $600 million, and they're going to build they're going to do some upgrades to Camden Yards and do around the ballpark in Baltimore what they did in Atlanta. And I think it's going to look wonderful.
Dude, I went to the one in St. Louis, the new Busch Stadium, and it's got all the bars and restaurants right by the stadium. It's super nice. I agree with you. It's going to be great. His name is Alan Sutterzinski, Brevard Sports Network. Check out his coverage all this week for lacrosse baseball. He's going to go around the horn. My man, thanks for your help and have a great day.
Appreciate you, buddy. Have a good one, man.